Okay, welcome everyone. Let's get started. My name is Eric Ma. I'm the Vice President of Community at SiteCore, and I'll be your moderator today. It's a pleasure to be here. We're going to be talking about five key ingredients of B2B social media for your website. Okay, let's briefly get into some housekeeping tips. We're recording this webinar, and we'll send you a link within a couple of days to the presentation for access on SiteCore.net, and we're going to also provide a PDF. Feel free to share that with colleagues that could not attend this live webinar, and of course, enjoy it as a repeat. If you have questions or comments during the webinar, please post them in the dialogue window on your webinar toolbar, or via the live Twitter discussion with hashtag #5KeysB2B. One of our colleagues, Serafina, is live, and she is ready to chat with you on Twitter. Many of you have already completed the social media survey that's been up for a few weeks, and we thank you for that. We're going to cover some of those results today during the webinar, but we're also going to keep that survey up live probably for a number of weeks going forward. And if you have a moment, please take time to complete that. We really do appreciate your input. Okay, before I get into today's discussion, I'd like to briefly tell you a little bit about us and our successful customers and partners. SiteCore's web content management system, portal, and marketing automation software solutions enable companies to deliver compelling web experiences. Our award-winning software makes it easy for businesses to create and update dynamic, full-featured websites of all types. SiteCore's industry-leading flexibility and scalability allows organizations to better leverage their content, improve customer experiences, and drive business growth. This webinar will discuss and illustrate how many SiteCore customers, including CA, Duck Brands, Upinor, and WebTrends, are leveraging social media to increase the business value of their websites and, of course, to improve digital experiences for their target audiences. I've got to tell you, we're very proud to be collaborating with some of the most successful brands in the world, including B2B and B2C marketing and technology teams. Here's just a few of the thousands of customers and partners that we have the pleasure of serving every day. Okay, well, I'd like to introduce you to our presenter today, Ted Prodromo. He's of SiteCore, and with 30-plus years of experience in technology management and consulting and over 19 years of hands-on Internet experience, Ted has blended his technical and marketing expertise to help organizations harness web technologies to improve business performance. Since 2001, Ted has focused on search engine optimization, web marketing, and now social media, and he's helping companies maximize their exposure on the Internet. Ted is the online marketing and SEO analyst for SiteCore. Welcome, Ted. Take it away.
Thank you, Eric. And today we're going to talk about B2B social media. We've done a lot of social media webinars where it talks more about B2C because that's where it's more popular and more effective. But a lot of people are using B2B social media now, and I'm going to show you a lot of case studies today. I'm not going to teach you how to use B2B social media, how to do Twitter and Facebook. We all know how to do that. But I'm just going to show you lots of case studies, how some successful companies are using it effectively. I'm going to start by talking about why would you want to do the B2B social media and lay out the details of how people are using it successfully. We're also going to show you some differences between the B2B and B2C social media. There's lots of differences, and I'm going to point those out to you throughout the webinar. Then we're going to get into the five keys of B2B social media for your website. Then we're going to wrap it up and answer a lot of your questions and answers. So we all know Facebook's the hottest website. There's 2 billion visitors a month. YouTube and Twitter are really popular. And just there's tons and tons and tons of activity and traffic there. So companies are all trying to figure out how can we capture just a fraction of that traffic and drive it to our B2B websites. Google has also made a lot of changes this year in their search results. Before, you used to get just your organic and your paid results. Now if you look on the left side of a Google search, you see a whole list of categories. There's focused search results for news. All of your blog postings that have your brand name in it will appear here. We've got images with your brand name or whatever you want to search for. So there's lots of ways you can get into Google now. It's not just your organic and paid listings. All of your YouTube videos will appear here. All your Twitter updates live. Within seconds of doing a tweet, it'll appear here. If you're in discussion groups, everybody talking about you on the internet in different discussion groups will appear under discussion. So Google has really embraced social media, so it's going to be here to stay for a while. So why do people use B2B social media? It's really three reasons. People are looking to purchase a product. They're looking for pricing or specifications. So they'll search Facebook, they'll search Twitter, LinkedIn, and your website. They want to find this information. They're also looking for validation. Can they trust you? What's the buzz? What are people saying on the internet? We all know if you have a bad experience with one of your products, it can be on the internet and spread all over the world within seconds. So you can check your reputation on the internet, and people are doing that now before they'll hire you or buy your product. And once they do buy your product or service, they're looking for support. And social media is a great way to provide that support. So how is B2B social media different from B2C? You're going to see narrow vertical market focus. B2B has a longer sales cycle than B2C, so you need to keep your brand name in front of people. If you have a six-month selling cycle, you need to keep your name in front of them over that 6 months. LinkedIn, you're going to see more B2B group members and followers. Where on Facebook, you're going to see less. B2B really, Facebook's more for fun still, and companies are still trying to get a build a reputation on there and make it work for them, but it's just not quite there yet. But with all those 2 billion visitors a month, businesses are putting their brand name there so they will be found. And on Twitter, you're going to see fewer passionate tweeters, where you'll see some examples like Domino's. People just tweet constantly about B2C companies. Same with YouTube. There's less YouTube activity for B2B. Now, there's less social media activity for B2B, but it's very, very focused activity. Now, here's a B2C company, the Duct Tape Company, Duck Brands. Over 900,000 Facebook fans. You're just not going to see 900,000 fans on a B2B fan page. As I said, people just love to tweet about their Domino's pizza. And there's very few B2B companies that receive as many tweets as Domino's. So let's get into the five key ingredients of B2B social media for your website. The first ingredient, and it's the same ingredients we used for the B2C version of this, and so we're just going to adapt them and show you how B2B companies are doing these successfully. So your website must be the core of your social media strategy. The second ingredient, how to unify your website business goals with your social media strategy. Third ingredient, catching and funneling more leads to your website by better leveraging social media. And the fourth ingredient, how to get the most out of user-generated content from your website. And ingredient five, best practice for measuring social media impact on your website, which seems to be the biggest challenge today, measuring your social media activity. So why your website must be the core of your social media strategy? It's really obvious with all this traffic out there, billions and billions of web visitors visiting social media, and they're spending a lot of time on these social media sites. So you want to put your website right in the middle of that activity so you can capture some of the traffic. And here's one of the results from our social media survey we did. The biggest problem, everybody always says, I don't have time to do social media. It's so time consuming. You can get on Facebook and spend hours and not accomplish anything. But the biggest thing that really stuck out here for me is 55% of the people that took the survey have no social media strategy. So obviously, if you don't have a strategy, you're probably going to waste a lot of time and you're not doing things right. So you really, really have to have a sound social media strategy. Here's our first case study. This is the Newspaper Association of America. And it's basically a niche site. It helps newspapers, it's a community for them to get together, and they learn about how to make their website, their newspapers more successful. As we all know, newspapers are dropping left and right every day, so they're really struggling to survive right now. So this is a community that helps them all come together and really, really adapt for the new era. So here they make it really easy to join their communities. See, we have, find us on Facebook, you got your LinkedIn, Twitter. They've got a community button up here in the right-hand corner. And down the lower left, they have their own community. They have blogs, forums, pictures, tweets. So they make it really, really easy to join their communities. Here's their Facebook page. You see, it's a very narrow niche. There's only 704 people that like this, but it's a very focused. Think of how many newspapers are left in North America right now. 704 people is quite a few. So they're all coming here to learn how to make their newspaper more successful. Here's their LinkedIn page. They have over 1,000 members, and they have 5 subgroups, which is really important. So they're focusing on a narrow, narrow niche. And within that niche, they have 5 different subgroups. And here with the Twitter, they use Twitter to advertise their classes and to drive people to their LinkedIn page and their Facebook page and to their website. So they use it really to share some information and to drive traffic. And on their website, they have their own community. So here they have blogs and forums and their photos and files people can share and lots of members. So you have a whole directory of all their members. So if you want to communicate with people, it's really easy to connect with other community members. So it's a really successful community. It's very narrow niche, very small, but it's really focused and very popular. So the outcome is they've created a very targeted community to support newspapers. And it spreads across Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and their own website. And they do a really good job of using all their social media properties to drive traffic back and forth. So ingredient 2, how to unify your website's business goals with your social media strategy. Here's another survey result. What do you expect to gain from using social media? And the winner by far is brand building. And customer engagement is pretty close. It's like 55%. Really, they really want to use social media to reach out to their customers and get their brand name in front of them and just keep in touch with them, get the name out there. This doesn't necessarily mean they're doing this. This is what they really want to happen. So you need to create your strategy so you're accomplishing these goals. So what are your website business goals? Every website should have business goals. If you don't, you need to stop right now and create some. You're either trying to generate leads or build awareness, establish thought leadership, or educate your customers, crowdsourcing, and we're going to see examples of all of these in our case studies today. This case study is Web Trends, and you see they've created a series of products for social media. They've not only engaged, created communities in social media, they're creating products to take advantage of the popularity. They have a Facebook application that helps you track your Facebook visitors and usage. They've created an open exchange, and this is where you can use their API. They have an open API where you can enhance and write applications to enhance your Web Trends application or to integrate Web Trends with some of your own applications. And this is all shared source. People can share programs they've written. You don't have to reinvent the wheel here. You can go up and grab the code and customize it however you want, as long as you meet their specifications. They've also created a developer network. So they have tools where the developers can teach you, support you, how to take Web Trends data and integrate it into your applications or vice versa. If you want to take your data and put it into Web Trends, they help you do this. It's a complete comprehensive support network. And they give you lots of tools to help you be successful in your development and enhancement of Web Trends. They have a pretty popular Facebook page. They have over 2,500 people that like it. and they connect all their other social media sites in here. And one interesting thing is the random correlation. You can post, you can send in your own random correlations and they'll post them there. This is the one where the more drinks you have, the less number of Facebook friends you'll have. So they invite you to send in your random correlations like that. It's a real comprehensive support area, and it links you back to all their other communities. WebTrends also has quite a few Twitter accounts. Instead of having one corporate account, they've gone with the strategy to have a different person tweeting for each application or very specific niches. And you see the ones with the W are WebTrends corporate accounts, and then there's other people that provide their own support through, so they can be resellers or partners of WebTrends that have their own Twitter accounts that help support the applications. So you see it's that a lot of vertical markets, very focused niches. So the outcomes, WebTrends has created a series of products that leverage popularity of social media. They have lots of communities in the open exchange. The developer network is very popular and has a lot of activity. And they do a great job connecting their communities using Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. They seem to be the big three. There's lots of other social networks out there, but really B2B seems to be focusing on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. So ingredient three, catching and funneling more leads to your website, but better leveraging social media. So how do you get the right people into your funnel? So this is one that really stood out for me. Do you see an increase in social media use in the next year for your company? And over 90% of the people said they're going to increase greatly or increase somewhat the use of social media. And about 9% are going to stay the same, and only 1% is going to decrease. So this is pretty staggering. It looks like this is how people think they're going to get people into their funnel in the future. So that's really, really highlights the need to have a sound social media strategy. So here are some goals people have for social media. It's always good to have the goals, why you're using social media, and fits in with your strategy. It's like if you're just randomly tweeting, or you have a Facebook page or a LinkedIn page, but you have no strategy, it's going to be a big waste of time and very ineffective. So people want to build trust and community. That's a huge factor in social media. You can also enhance innovation through crowdsourcing and collaboration. So you really, if there's problems, your community can help solve those problems. You don't have to rely on your own internal people to solve all the problems. And word of mouth marketing is really, really huge with social media. Obviously, if there's some product you like, people like to tweet about it and tell people. And then lots of user-generated content, and you get lots of feedback. If you give people the opportunity to comment on your products or to tell you what they want, they're going to tell you. So you might want to make your website really user-friendly and your community is friendly enough so they can really tell you what's on their mind, whether it's good or bad. And improving customer service and satisfaction, you let the customers help each other. People love to solve problems, and they like to be the expert on your forums and discussion groups, even if they don't work for you. So here's a really small niche market. This is a small company up in Orr, and they do climate control, they do radiant heating. And the goal of this website is to educate people that install this equipment. So it's a very, very narrow niche, but it's a very popular site for people, the installers of this product, and support people. So here they have in-person training, so they have a really easy to follow website. They have lots of classes, so you can go to their classes in person. They also provide webinar training, so there's a whole series of training you can just do from your office. You don't have to travel to their location. And they have lots and lots of videos that help you if you have problems with the installation. So it's really takes the burden off their tech support people. People can just go watch a video and figure out how to do it themselves. So here with the marketing and sales, they use a lot of case studies. And this is part of the validation. Before people buy this equipment or from these products, they want to know if it works and what people have done with it. How good is it? Where has it been installed? Here they have a case study for a city center in Las Vegas or just a residence. So you can really come and do a lot of research before you buy. And if you, there's articles, there's promotions, because just literally everything here, one-stop shopping. And they also have links to the YouTube and Twitter account here. And ProTalk is where it's a forum where you can ask questions that you can't find on the website. So it gives you an opportunity to really find out if you really want this product or if you're having problems, you can get support from lots and lots of resources. So here's the technical support area. See, they have lots of tabs. This website's really nicely laid out because they have the tabs. It makes it very easy to find any information you need. What is radiant floor heating? Or it takes you all different parts of the sales funnel. If really people don't know anything about this, they can learn about the products. And then they get into the specifications and the details so they can move all the way through the whole process. And there, the ProTalk is on just about every page also. So you can see what discussions are going on. So if you see a lot of negative things posted in the forum, you think, well, maybe there's a lot of problems with this product. Maybe I'll go with a different one. Or you can see that people are getting quick answers, and it's easy to maintain. And people will say, this is a great product, or here's some things to watch out for. They'll tell you exactly the good things and the bad things about these products before you buy. So here's their Twitter page. See, there's only 267 followers. It's very narrowly focused, but they provide lots of good information here. They'll promote their classes or tech tips. So if you're one of these installers, it's a really easy way for you to find out what the latest and greatest information about their products are. They also have a lot of YouTube videos. They have 42 uploaded, and they have some other channels. So there's some sales videos here. There's instructional videos. Some of their training videos are up here from their classes. So they make it really easy for potential customers or installers to find the answers they need. So the outcome is, they did a great job. All 5 points of the goals of social media, they're accomplishing all of them. They're building trust with their community and customers. They're enhancing innovation through crowdsourcing because they're really getting a lot of information on their forums about what problems they're having with the products so they can fix them in future releases. And people say, I wish your product would do X, Y, Z, and they can build that in. They're learning from their social media activity. And the word of mouth is tremendous with this. Installers will definitely say, if you need help, it's a great product, because they won't leave you hanging. If there's a problem, you can get help quickly. And there's a lot of user-generated content in those forums, and there's always a stream of feedback in these social media activities. And the customer service is the comprehensive forum they have and the different videos. So they give you everything you need to be a successful installer of this product. So it's really big benefit to this product to have this social media activity. So ingredient 4, how to get the most out of user-generated content on your website. So user-generated content is basically videos people would upload, or they would be forum discussions, blog posts, blog comments. So it's just ways people can interact with your website and provide more value to anything that's on there. So this case study is Computer Associates, and software company. They have lots of different products. It's a very large company. And so they have need to provide a lot of different support in a lot of different niche areas. So how they've done it, they've created lots of communities, very, very narrowly focused communities. And they make it really easy to find these on their homepage. So they have communities, webcasts, podcasts, white papers, social media, blogs, you name it, they've got it. And they make it really easy to connect to them. So Computer Associates also goes with the strategy of multiple Twitter accounts. So for each product, there's a different person that does the tweeting, a very specific person that knows that product, because it'd be really hard for one corporate account, one person to tweet about hundreds of products. So they've gone with the approach of having a whole series of people tweeting in those very specific niche products. And they bring it all together with the corporate accounts. So with this corporate account does, it kind of directs people to all these specific niches when they need help. You see, it's a small community. It's only 1,138 followers, so there's not hundreds of thousands of followers like the B2C companies, but you see it's very, very focused. And each little niche tweeter has even less people. There's usually about 500 to 800 people in each of those, but it's very specific users. On their LinkedIn page, they have 11,000 people following them. So they do a really good job of bringing people together in LinkedIn. Here are some communities on their website. It's just, I've never seen this, such a comprehensive list of communities. It's really, really great to go to this website, ca.com. And you see backup and management recovery. You got just literally everything, mainframe information. And they also broke their communities into technical and also business communities. So you can, a lot of times these are just technically focused communities to get help. They have the business side also, so you can help justify the purchase of these expensive products and how to make your operations more efficient. So they really did a great job of breaking out the business and the technical areas here. Here's another example of their very, very specific communities. They have over 300 communities on their website, and they've got a very specific, like Albany Enterprise Modeling User Group or Application Performance Management. See, there's only a few members in each. There's not thousands of members, but they're very specific, and these all have lots of activity. So it's, you know, those narrow, narrow niches, and they're really focused. And they also have taken the same approach with their blogs. They have so many different blogs. Each topic, each product has its own blog. They have experts in each area. They take turns blogging. See your most recent posts here. And you can just browse by topics or by product. And it gets really easy to connect and read the blogs. So they've taken this to the whole new level. They have so many products and so many different niches that they cover, they've taken that approach of they're going to provide individual support for each one using all these different methods, whether it's Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, or through the blogs, or the communities. So they've done a great job blending their content with user-generated content. They really do a good job inviting people to connect their community and make it really easy to find help in your very, very specific niche. And they have some communities are very broad topics, and then they can just drill right down into your very specific needs. So you don't waste a lot of time on their website trying to find the answers. It's all really laid out really cleanly and really, really, really done. Well done. So ingredient five, best practices for measuring social media impact. And this is really, really, there's such a huge gap right now. People just aren't measuring. They don't know how to measure the impact. So here's another question from our survey. How would you rate the satisfaction with the success of your social media efforts? And you see, a lot of people are satisfied or somewhat satisfied. About 34% are dissatisfied. And so about 45% are dissatisfied in some way with their social media efforts. So it's really, if they're not measuring it, they really don't know. That's the problem. And here's what really sticks out. 46% of the people that took the survey don't measure social media activities. So they don't know if they're successful or not. They're just really throwing spaghetti at the wall at this point and hoping something sticks, but they don't know what sticks because they're not measuring it. So it's really, really important to have a sound social media strategy and some ways to measure it. So how do you measure social media success? Some of the ways, it's not really about how many web hits you get, how long people stay on your website, what pages they visited. There's more intangible things, like did your campaign generate more blog posts about your product? So what you can do is you can create a specific campaign, and other people will blog about your products. So you want to say maybe you get 10 people blogging about your products every day. If you do a specific campaign and get 20 people, then you know that campaign is successful. Or if you do a tweet. People aren't retweeting as much as they used to, but that was always a measurement. If you do a tweet, how many times do people retweet it? So if it's good information, people are going to share it. And did your tweet or blog post generate more traffic to your website? So what you want to do, you need to measure those links that you're sending people to. Don't just send people to your home page when you do a tweet or a blog post. You want to talk about very specific topics like we've seen in these case studies and send people to the answers. You don't want to send them to your home page because they get confused and frustrated. Give them the answers they're looking for right away. Another measurement you could use is how many comments do you get for each blog post? Does certain topics generate more comments? That's a great way to measure what people are frustrated about or what they're looking for more of. So if you write blog posts and you're not getting any comments, then you need to change your strategy about what you're writing about. And also another way to measure is that how many discussions on your Facebook page? Do you have a Facebook page that has no activity or a LinkedIn group that has no activity? You need to go out there and start posting some provocative questions and asking people some things. Get some topics that they're really interested in commenting on. You can find exactly what people want just by experimenting with that. I went to the Search Engine Strategies Conference a few weeks ago, and one of the ways they said they measure, the conference itself said there's 96,000 search engine professionals in the world, and 48,000 of them are on their email list. So they're claiming they have a 50% share of voice. So that's a way to measure your social media impact. That's pretty significant that they claim to have half the search engine professionals on their email list. So you have to get creative here and think about different ways that you can measure your social media impact and what's important to you. Would that be important to you to have that many targeted people on your email list? Of course. Everybody would love that. But just think of other ways you can measure creatively. Some essential measurement tools. Obviously, you want to use your web analytics. You need to know how many people are coming to your website, how long they're staying, what are the most popular pages, what campaigns are working. URL shorteners and PR analytics and social media monitoring help you measure all the impact that's out there on the social media platforms. So web analytics, there's Google Analytics, Omniture, Web Trends, Sitecore OMS. So these are all tools that let you measure really who's coming to your website, where they're coming from, and how long they're staying. You really need to know where your traffic is coming from. If you're getting a lot of hits from your Google campaigns, great, you should know that. If you're getting a lot of traffic from Twitter, you should be able to track that. If you're not getting any traffic from Facebook, but you're getting lots from LinkedIn, then you know you need to spend more time on LinkedIn. focus on the ones that are working. Facebook's really a long shot right now for B2B, but with that much traffic and that many people spending at least an hour a day, they say, it's people just putting their B2B sites out there just to see if they can capture some of that traffic. And you see some get a little bit of traffic, but not much in this case. So URL shorteners like Bitly and Bud URL, these are ones if you're doing a tweet or you're posting something in a discussion group on Facebook or LinkedIn, then you want to track it. So you'll know how many people clicked on it and did they actually come to your website. If you just put the link there and people click, you don't know if that traffic came from Facebook or from your promotion. And Bud URL is a good one because it uses a 301 redirect, which Google prefers in your search rankings. So, and you can create custom URLs there. You can create, instead of the long, you know, scribble like the hard to read URLs, you can make budurl.com/sitecore easy to read that's related to the campaign that you're tracking. PR monitoring, you got to know what people are saying about you out on the internet. So they have lots of tools. KD Payne DUII dashboard is one. Telium social media, there's lots of others. But you really, really have to know what people are saying. And people are talking about you on the internet, whether you know it or not. And you can't just ignore it anymore. Radian 6 is a great tool for social media monitoring. It tells you exactly what's going on, who's tweeting about you, who's blogging about you. So there's other tools out there. But Radian 6 is one of the ones that's been around for quite a while, and it's one of the most popular ones. Position 2 is another one. It's a great way. It's with this nice dashboard. You can see exactly what's going on, how many people are tweeting, the news items about you. Gives you your sentiment. So it's really comprehensive little dashboard. And you can see, you can track. Gives you great information in a snapshot. So in summary, your website's got to be in the middle of all this. There's so much traffic going on and so much activity in social media. You just really got to get your website in the middle of that. And design your website so it's interactive and let your users create a lot of the content. Give them the opportunity to tell you what they're happy about and what they're not happy about. It really helps you develop your products and provide better customer support. And it's great to create those online communities, Facebook and LinkedIn, and drive people to your website from there. So just get your presence out there and try to get them back to your website for more information. And Twitter is a great way to just drive traffic to all these different communities and to your website. So you don't necessarily want to have to drive people to your website all the time. Get people involved in your other communities, because sometimes they prefer to communicate on LinkedIn rather than your website. So that's great. Send them to LinkedIn. They get to know your brand. Then they come to your website. And then always measure results. Eric?
Okay. Thank you, Ted, for your time and for your informative presentation here. Also, very intrigued by some of the survey results. I want to remind folks that are listening in here to please, if you haven't completed the survey on social media use, strategy, objectives, that kind of thing, please take a moment to complete that. We're also going to be blogging about some of those findings, and you'll see more information about that. Also want to thank all of you who are participating today. We've had hundreds of registrants and people chiming in and tuning in today, and also on the survey response. So again, thank you. We have great questions that have come in too. And I'd like to encourage you to continue submitting questions using the webinar toolbar throughout the Q&A session. I'd say we have about 15 minutes of Q&A time. And also via Twitter at hashtag #5KeysB2B. If your questions are not answered during this next few minutes, we'll follow up with you individually if that's appropriate. And if the questions are extensive, we perhaps even do a blog post about it. So definitely want to get more questions and more thoughts from you and comments. Also, I'd like just to take a moment to let you know about our next webinar scheduled for October 5th. Actually, there will be in three different time zones starting with October 5th. The first time zone in the U.S. is going to be on the 5th, and then Australia and Europe will be in other time zones. You'll be seeing more information about that. And the topic is managing the connected marketing journey with David Daniels from the Relevancy Group. He's a former Forrester and Jupiter analyst, and he'll be our featured speaker. I'll also join David with Sitecore's perspective, of course, including some of our customers and partners and what they think about managing the connected marketing journey. You can register now or later if you wish with the URL listed on the slide, and we really encourage you to participate in that. So let's get into some questions here. Ted, are you still on the phone there? You can hear me?
Yep, I'm ready.
Okay, great. So the first question is, how do you use Facebook for B2B social media? In other words, I know you commented a little bit about Facebook as this huge community. It's growing. There's a lot of Facebook use for personal use, but maybe not so much for business. What are some of your thoughts on how to use this for B2B?
The most effective uses for B2B on Facebook is where I've seen people, they give away white papers or information. So you can actually set up an opt-in form so people have to give you you can give away a free white paper, but it's better to collect the lead. You can actually put an opt-in form on your Facebook page now. And you want to just create that community environment. Create a little discussion group and always lead people back to your website in some way. But you need a presence there because there's so much traffic. You may not get a lot of activity right now, but just keep experimenting. See what people are looking for. I just read this morning that Facebook advertising has increased 20-fold in the past year. So businesses are starting to take note, and they're starting to advertise on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and bottom line is business is about relationships. And if you can create and grow a relationship through a Facebook with the many tools it has available, the many analytics are associated with Facebook, it's wonderful. In fact, there's even event-type organizing tools. So let's say you're having an event at a on-site event, a conference, and you want an easy way to organize people to show up for that event, to RSVP for that event, to comment. It's quite useful, and of course it's free, to use that within Facebook to organize and manage and then post videos, photos, etc. So that's one good use. Another question here is, and we've heard this a lot, and even it showed up in the survey that we did here recently, we have limited resources, so time is a major concern. How can we use social media effectively, or maybe more effectively, while minimizing the time we spend doing it?
I think we saw a lot of that in these case studies where the companies focused on very specific narrow niches. So they divided the work up into the experts within their company. So each expert was responsible for a Twitter account or a Facebook account or a LinkedIn group. So they really just kind of divide and conquer. And you really need to really have a strategy, maybe a blog schedule. Say you're going to do 10 blog posts a month. You have 10 different people blog, so they all don't have to do 10 blog posts a month. So really create a strategy that spreads the wealth, and the knowledge is spread through your company, so share that expertise by spreading out your social media workload.
Mm-hmm. And to your point earlier in the survey results, if you don't have a strategy, chances are you're running around doing a lot of things that just aren't necessary. They're not necessary for your audience. They're not necessary for your business. And that can just add on cycles.
And if they're not measuring their results, they have no idea if it's working or not also.
Right. Okay. Another question we have here is, how often should I blog for my business?
Well, the obvious answer is as often as possible, but that's not realistic. It's good to get a lot of blog posts out there, as you saw from the Google search results now. Your blog posts will appear there very quickly after you post. So the more blogging you can do, if you're a very small company, obviously try to get as many posts as you can. But a bigger company, you should be posting every day in different specific niche blogs.
We've got a question that just came in just now through the chat. Is do you recommend that your blog be on your website itself or totally separate?
I've seen people do both where they try to split it up and show a kind of different presence. But from a search engine ranking perspective, all the experts seem to all agree your blog should be on your website because Google sees it as more relevant content and it's connected to your site. And they also recommend that it should be in a subfolder like sitecore.net/blog rather than blog.sitecore.net. Because when you set up that blog.sitecore.net domain, Google sees that as a completely separate website. So from the search engine perspective, they say it should be part of your website.
Mm-hmm. You know, and back to the point earlier about time and strategy, let's face it, you know, social media, social networking, it's not going away. It really needs to be part of the businesses and business professionals' DNA to communicate through these channels. We had another question is that came in a moment ago, but why should there be a strategy? Isn't it just another marketing channel? You know, again, I think organizing around a strategy can help resourcing and can help define measurement and you know, focus on objectives. But I think it definitely needs to be part of the DNA, and that's just something that businesses can benefit from if they do so.
Exactly.
Next question. Are discussion groups and forums really worth the effort?
There's a big debate about that, but really, if you go out and participate in other discussion groups, it can drive traffic to your website. So it's very helpful in that way. But having them on your website and getting your customers talking about your products, it's invaluable. The data you're going to collect there, you're going to know exactly what people want, when they want it, and the things they don't like about your product. So you can really focus on what they want. So I think they're very, very, they're critical. You should have them on your website or on these social media sites so you can just somewhere where you can get people talking about your products and get feedback.
Yeah, I like the examples you gave on CA and Upinor on the very niche kind of vertical discussions with the experts behind them. And the response, of course, I would assume was quite high. Here's a funny one. Our legal department has to approve all social media content before we post it. How can we use social media if we can't respond in real time? And, of course, the assumption is that there's some cycles involved in attorneys and such filters, you know, reviewing the content. So what's your thinking around that?
Yeah, that's where you really have to work with your legal department and really get a list of topics you can comment on maybe in real time. Because if people are tweeting negative things about you and then you have to go to them and get permission to tweet back and respond, it's going to really damage your reputation online. So you have to kind of really work a balance with it. And they're getting more, not lenient, but they understand the need that you have to respond quickly with social media because the time frame is, it's everything is immediate now. Google's instant search results now. Everything is instant on the internet. You can't wait a week for legal to approve a blog post or a reply to a blog. So you really have to work closely with your legal department.
And maybe one tool to do that is to actually work around a social media policy, working with legal to actually create a policy and propagate that throughout the business. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. That's a great idea. So, yeah, here's topics you can blog about. Here's things that we have DNAs with. We can't talk about that. Give you a list of what's off limits and what's on limits.
Yeah, and a lot of it's just common sense. I mean, for example, if you're a company, especially if you're public, you probably don't want to comment on financial performance or things that are, you know, trade secrets or whatever. So it's like to think of social media as is the same as if you're having a conversation with someone, you know, at a pub or, you know, on the way to the airport or whatever, or on the plane, is just use your common sense. And I think, you know, earlier you mentioned, Ted, that response is, you know, is so required now. It's an immediacy kind of thing. And I think that if people aren't able to respond, it actually hurts the brand, whether you're a B2B or a B2C company. Because people expect response, especially if they're on their mobile handsets and they're, you know, commenting and sharing, and they expect that immediacy. What about video? Tell us more about the value of video, not only as a search tool, but how does one create a viral video? How do we get video to really help businesses spread the word?
Well, creating a viral video is like kind of like, where do I go buy the winning lottery ticket? You don't know if it's going to go viral. They kind of just take off on their own. But obviously, with Google buying YouTube, and YouTube's supposed to have the second most amount of daily searches on the Internet, people love videos. And you're seeing more and more businesses put videos up there. So they're putting promotional marketing videos. They're putting how-to videos. They're kind of just listening to what their users want and need, and they're creating video. Because instead of reading a document, a lot of people just go rather watch a five-minute video on how to set something up or how do I install this software. So it's, you really got to kind of just figure out what your niche market is looking for and create those videos. And keep them really short, 3 minutes. People don't want to watch a 10-minute video anymore. They used to say 3 to 5 minutes, but I would say more 2 to 3 minutes is the threshold. Think about how often when you watch a YouTube video, do you really watch the really long ones?
Mm-hmm. And it's so easy to create a video now. You can go get a Kodak-type phone or camera, sorry, for, you know, like less than $200. Your iPhone has video in it now. Most of these devices have easy ways of uploading to YouTube. YouTube videos are formatted for iPhone, so it's just so much easier to create them, consume them, and share them. And I think you said earlier it's one of the top search engines is YouTube. I have another question.
One thing about the testimonials, get your customers to upload video testimonials about your products. People love to see that.
Mm-hmm. We've got another question coming in. Is how do you recommend dealing with negative comments from a customer? Do you take it offline or do you comment online?
It depends. You don't want to get into a really bad debate online, but you definitely want to address it online. You have to make some kind of statement. Like a lot of times when we see negative comments, say, how can we help you? And once you reach out to them, they'll just vent and say, your product stinks or I'm having these problems. You reach out and say, how can I help you? And they'll get back to you, and they're so happy after that. But you don't want to get into a shouting match back and forth with them. Mm-hmm. Where I've seen some companies do that, and it's like, it's so bad for your reputation. And people search Twitter and see what conversations are going on, so they're going to see a whole history of that dialogue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think with Twitter in particular, when people are doing negative comments, they know companies are listening. There's certainly tools, there's ways to do it. And I think by simply following someone, which of course activates a ping that someone is following you, is a good way to say, you know, to the complainer, hey, we're listening. And you're opening up that dialogue for the person to follow back. I've seen some good use cases around just having it, you know, dealing with the issues through direct messages, through private messages. And then what has happened is actually the customer will come back publicly and say, wow, you know, got a great response from so-and-so company and really appreciate their customer service. So you don't always have to air the issue live or public. You can respond by following. You can acknowledge that you're listening, and you can communicate privately, and then oftentimes a public comment will be made by the customer that's very favorable to the brand.
Yeah.
Let's see here. I think we've got another couple of questions that have come in. So someone's actually asked if we can get a copy of the slides. We will be sending the slides to you both as a playback on demand and also as a PDF. Let's see here. Any other questions you're seeing, Ted, that are interesting? Just scrolling through here.
Some of the big questions I always get are, how much time should I spend every week doing social media? Obviously, it depends how big your company and your brand is. But you need to really spend some time doing it. You don't really need dedicated resources all the time, but if everybody does maybe an hour or two a day, or an hour or two a week, depending how you spread the load. It makes it easier for everybody, and it's more manageable. Some companies do have dedicated social media people now that spend all day long. I don't think a lot of companies are at that point yet.
Yeah, I think it comes back to the DNA, thinking is that the inbound activity from social media is increasing, and that's evident through the growth of the networks like Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn and blogs. The number of bloggers have increased dramatically in the last few years. And so, you pretty much just have to accept the fact that this is the way that people communicate, and there's an opportunity to listen and to respond and do as quickly as possible with the highest quality response, or to ignore. But if you ignore, then that's a problem. And, of course, companies like Sitecore, they're providing CMS and marketing automation and portal and community types of tools, make it easier for you to do the integration with the various social networks and such. So, I think with that, we're actually just about out of time here with the end of the webinar. I want to remind you that we'll email attendees the link to this presentation, including the PDF, so you can view it again or you can share it with colleagues. Last but not least, we will follow up with a brief email poll. If you could just take a moment to share your feedback about this webinar, we'd really appreciate that. It always helps to get feedback to help